The sound of bell ringers in the Old North Church, the sight of a bright red cranberry bog in fall, the smell of the fish pier in Boston's harbor. These are just some of the impressions gathered by Massachusetts state folklorist Maggie Holtzberg, who travels the state armed only with her recording devices and a curiosity about traditions and trades that are fast disappearing. Well, she's our intrepid folklorist as well, and Maggie joins us again in the studio. She recently got her feet wet learning about the age-old art of waterfowling, better known as...
Well, goose hunting.
Aha. Now, Maggie, you know, hello, by the way.
Hi.
You know, some people might find this, well, you know, it's hunting, so there are people who are opposed to that. There are also people who say it's just a sport. Why is it also an art?
My guide in all this was a man named John Detweiler, and he has a real passion for hunting, which also means getting out there in nature, observing birds, carving decoys. That's all part of that larger waterfowling world. Mm. And even the art of camouflage, of grassing a boat, everything so that you're not seen and the birds are drawn to where you are.
Where were you? Where did he take you?
It's the South Shore, Norwell, where the North River and the Herring River come together. So it's an estuary. And on this particular morning, not only was it very cold, it was a moon tide, which means a full moon, so the tide was going to be quite high. We got there at low tide, and as we spent, I guess it was about 6 in the morning, first light, 6 hours later, it was high tide. So the sandbar that we started out on was then totally submerged in water.
And so was little Maggie.
Yes, and here I brought along a photograph of my garb that day.
Well, we said armed only with your recording devices, but in this case, you're also in full camouflage, including your hat. Let's hear what it sounded like out there on the river.
And what are you doing now?
Now I'm putting out the floaters. And these guys, I like to think they kind of seal the deal. They add a tremendous amount of realism versus just the stick-ups. If I were a goose, I'd land.
What's he doing here? What are the splashes?
The splashes you hear are, first of all, we've gone in the rover. We've trailed a boat that's grassed and camouflaged. When you hear the water splashes, we're setting out the decoys, which means he has 40 decoys inside another little boat. Some of them are floaters. He's putting them in the water. And some of them are called stick-ups. They're just silhouettes. And you place them facing into the wind, sticking into the sand. And it's all to make it look like a natural flock of geese.
Quite frankly, to me, that's the big thrill. Duping the birds. Tricking them. Creating an environment that they think is real.
Okay, Maggie, you know, some people would say this is murder most foul. I'm sorry, I had to. Duping the birds. But I do love the art of decoy making. My uncle up in Vermont does them, and it's quite a skill. But once the decoys are set, then what's next?
Well, there are other ways to draw the birds to you. Duck speak, as you will, goose speak. And he does demonstrate this with one of many goose calls.
It's called a feeding call. That's like when they're kind of in the marsh, or called the gabble. They're very content. They're nibbling around. They're just kind of cruising. And that's a low little...
What was happening there? Was he using a whistle, or was it just into his hand?
No. He had a wooden, he had several of them, but they look sort of like a primitive recorder without that
mouthpiece.
Yeah. He had a multitude of duck calls there, but he didn't claim to be an expert duck or goose caller. His strong point is in decoys. And as he put it, decoys, concealment, and shooting.
Okay, well, the shooting part, we'll get to that. But the decoys and the whistles and all of that, it's taken very seriously. Why is that? Is it just, you know, for the art's sake?
No, in fact, it grew out of something called market hunting.
Duck hunting originally got really big because it was a source of income for people. You know, they sold the birds. It was market hunting. So, consequently, they went to the utmost means to be successful. They meticulously designed and crafted boats that were low profile, that were one man, that could be grassed. You know, they had grassing rails on them so they could tie the marsh grass to them. They modified their guns. They used particular guns which were the most reliable. Same thing with the decoys. If the decoys didn't work and they didn't draw birds, then they were useless. Or, you know, and if the decoy wasn't constructed of a proper quality, it wouldn't last. So,
are a lot of people still making the decoys? And do people approach goose hunting this way all the time?
I think it's really dropped off. There's a lot of anti-hunting sentiment out there. The opportunity, there's a lot of red tape and bureaucracy.
Well, it sounds like it's very time-consuming.
Yeah, but that was part of the pleasure of it. I got the sense that you're out there quietly observing nature, watching birds. It's very peaceful, which many folks don't get the opportunity to do that.
You know, it's funny you say that because my uncle, who does this, and he's in his late 80s now, does it for a completely different reason. He does it to capture birds in paintings. Mm. And he has this beautiful studio where he makes his decoys. I'm wondering, did you see Jonathan make any of his decoys?
Yeah, but they probably look different than your uncle's. We went into the barn where he has a little wood shop set up, and he, in fact, carved out a brant head, right, that would sit on a cork body. But it's a working decoy, so it's not that kind that you usually see up on someone's mantelpiece that's beautifully painted, and it's much cruder. But the art of it is, again, if it sits in the water like a natural bird would, it'll work better. He talked to me about that as he was working on a brant head.
I'd take a decoy that I saw that I liked, and I'd look at it, and I'd look at it, or I'd look at a book, and I'd look at it, and I'd look at it. And I'm finally starting to get to the point where I can start to freeform my own bodies. When I go to do a new species, though, I do confess that I will look in some of my my old decoy books and take some lessons from the masters, might as well, to at least get an idea in my mind how I want the body shape to be. And then the head shapes, that I do from just kind of watching an eye, keeping an eye on them and studying them and seeing what they have. You know, when they're swimming in the water, what's the most natural position? Like the brant that you saw today with his head way up in the air, that's an unnatural position because that means he's nervous, things are wrong. So you don't want to carve one in that position.
So, Maggie, what did you take away with you after your day spent with a goose hunter? It doesn't sound like you saw any geese shot.
No, and I was glad that we didn't. Although he does, the family eats anything that he shoots.
Yeah,
I came away actually with a different impression of hunters and very impressed by the respect for the land and their being stewards for the land, conservationists. And it was also, I was amazed at how much work it is. I mean, it seemed like a real guy thing and dragging out these 40 decoys, unloading them, setting them up, and then sitting and watching and then having to set up all over again to another location. It was fairly labor intensive, and it's often done solitary, you know, by yourself out there. I was impressed by the very broad knowledge that's involved to be successful at it.
Mm. Well, thank you for sharing it with us.
Sure. Thank you for having me in.
And, you know, Maggie wants you to share your thoughts with her. Maggie Holzberg is the Folk and Traditional Arts Coordinator for the state of Massachusetts. And if you know of a tradition you think the Massachusetts Cultural Council might be interested in documenting, call Maggie at 617-727-3668. That's 617-727-3668. Or you can visit our website, here-now.org. That's here-now.org. There will also be contact information there for folklorists in Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Connecticut, and Vermont.